Okay, so this morning, are we all ready to go into the Word of the Lord? Quite a bit for this morning. Yeah, can we give this time to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, very much for each year that you give us, each and every day. Father, we recognize, Lord, that it is your grace that gives us, Lord, even strength to go through each day. It is by your sovereignty, Lord, that we make it through each day. It is your gift, O Father, to us that we have each day, that we may live for you, that we may reflect your image, that, Lord, that we may be your ambassadors and your kingdom agents in this world to fulfill your purpose and your call, Lord, even and your plan to redeem this world, O Father. And we thank you that you count us even worthy to be part, O Lord, of the work that you are doing, and you have invited us into this. Lord, as we present ourselves before you this morning, Lord, for the Vision Sunday, Lord, we ask and pray, Lord, right now, let all of our hearts be centered in on you. Let our minds, O Lord, be centered on you. Lord, let us hear, Lord, even what your Spirit has to say to us. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes. And let us, O Lord, we pray, be united in heart and in spirit, in alignment to your heart and to your spirit, to your direction and your word for us, Lord. So, Lord, we give this time to you and we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to each and every one of us here this morning, be it those of us who are here in person or those who are watching online. And we ask all these right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. This week was pretty, it was quite a hot week, huh? It was really quite hot, and how many of you are now, like me, we are enjoying a little bit of cool this morning? Enjoy it, and then comes on Thursday and Friday where it goes back up again. And you know, the picture that I got in my mind is like a sword, right? A blacksmith, when they want to make the sword strong, what would they do? They will heat it up, right? They will heat it up until it's bright red hot, and then they would dunk it into the water, and you get the and then they will start hammering it and they will heat it up and bright, hit red hot. So maybe we can just take it this way, you know, that the Lord is also making us strong in this way, hot and cold, hot and cold. Now, today is Vision, what we would call as Vision Sunday. And it is traditionally a time in the year where we will share the theme that we have for us as a church in this new year. At Grace City Church, we desire to be a vibrant family of God. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord has made us one in His body. We are a family of God. And we want to be a vibrant family of God. We also want to be disciples who are making disciples for Christ. So we want to be a family of God who are disciples of Christ that make disciples for Christ. Because that is the great commission that God has given us. That is the mission that He has entrusted into our hands. And so, each year, our theme for the year would then flow in line with this desire and with this direction. Now, let us do a quick recap on our themes over the last 2 years. In 2022, the theme was His Heart, Our Heart. That was when we wanted to get to know the heart of God, to have a heart that is after the heart of God. We wanted to pursue the heart of God and cultivate our hearts to be like His heart. And then in 2023, our theme was His walk, our walk. Because once you have the heart, it has to translate into something, right? As Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, our actions and our behaviors will also flow out of the abundance of our hearts as well. It's an overflow of what's inside. So if we say that we have a heart that pursues after the heart of God, or that we are saying that our heart resonates with the heart of God, then our actions, our daily lives should reflect that as well. We should be walking as Jesus walked, in the same way that His words, His ways, and His works will align to the heart of God, His Father. But to walk as Jesus walked in our daily lives, in ministry, in mission, is not a simple feat. We will not be able to do it in our own strength, in our own power, in our own might, no matter how determined we may be. As disciples of Christ Jesus, we can only walk as our Lord and as our Master walk till our final breath in this world by the Holy Spirit. And just as how the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, as well as the disciples, and empowered them for the ministry and during their time, their earthly ministry here on earth, it is only through the empowerment and the enablement of the Holy Spirit that we are able to live a life that is faithful and pleasing to God, that is in agreement with His will and His purpose. It is only by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we will be able to carry out the great commission of making disciples faithfully and fruitfully. And so in light of all of these, our pastoral team, after prayer and consideration, we collectively agreed that our theme for 2024 this year will be to walk in the Spirit. And the Bible verse that will undergird this theme for this year is taken from the letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 25. You would have seen the banner that's outside there, right? How many of you have already seen the new banner out there? And there's a new banner here as well, the stand-up banner at the entrance as well. Do you think that the banner looks nice and pretty? Yes? Can we thank Sister Adriana, who is the designer of the banner? She's got a gift and a talent in this. Now let's take a closer look at our theme Bible verse for this year, Galatians 5:25. And I want to first read from the New King James Version. It says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." But you may be asking, what is walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? So this is where we get help from other translations of this verse. And let's look at the English Standard Version and the New International Version, the ESV and the NIV, of this same verse. And it reads this way: "If, or since, we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." So to walk in the Spirit is to keep in step with the Spirit. Now, keep in step with the Spirit, if you translate it, it literally means to march in step with the Spirit and to take our cue from the Holy Spirit. So the image that I have here, the example that I have here is, you know, a contingent that is marching in a military parade. How many of you have ever marched in a contingent in a military parade before? Yeah. So, if you have marched in a military parade or contingent before, you will know that the contingent will march in unison and they will take their cue from the contingent commander, right? And the contingent commander will take his cue from the parade commander and from the music that the military band plays, because there's a beat that goes along with it. Now, the contingent is also watching the contingent commander, listening to the military band. Everyone's listening to the beat of the military band. But if the contingent gets distracted, or if the contingent commander gets distracted and they miss the cue, then what will happen to the parade? The whole thing will be thrown into a disarray. It becomes chaotic. And so, that is what it means to march in step with the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We want to drill down a little bit more, just to get a bit more clarity. So let's look now at the New Living Translation, the NLT version of this verse, Galatians 5:25. And it says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Isn't this clearer? Isn't this easier to understand now? So our pastoral team then decided that we will adopt this version, the NLT version, because we feel that this particular version and of the verse would best represent what we feel God is leading us as a church to focus on for this year. And that is our hearts, our minds, our actions, our words, our decisions, whether is it a big decision or is it a small decision, every aspect and facet of our lives is to be fully immersed and influenced by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God, must take the lead in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. Our responsibility is to follow His lead. Hear and obey. Everyone says, hear and obey. Thank you for being obedient. Why do we walk in the Spirit? Just before we go into this question, or why should we, or why do we need to walk in the Spirit? It is first important for us to be reminded of who the Holy Spirit is and what is His role in our lives. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is often referred to as the third person in the triune God. Though God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have different personhoods, but yet they are one being. They are co-eternal, and they are equal in divinity. They are what we will call today a Trinity, the Holy Trinity. So the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. Nor is the Holy Spirit just a force in the universe or a force in the world. Like what you watch in Star Wars, may the force be with you. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also known and referred to as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of Jesus, the Helper, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Guide, the Spirit of Truth, amongst other terms that we will use to refer to the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of us who are born-again believers of Christ, who are children of God and disciples of Christ, why do we need to walk in the Spirit? Why do we need to be led by the Spirit in every area of our lives? There are five reasons that I'm going to share with you this morning. It could be more. It's not comprehensive, but I'm just going to highlight five. The first reason is perhaps found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, the verse itself. And it says, since we are living by the Spirit. Since we are living by the Spirit. So in other words, it is the Holy Spirit who gives us life. You can read more about that in John chapter 3 and John chapter 6. When we were previously dead in our sins and our transgressions, spiritually dead, the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to be born again spiritually, to be a new creation in Christ, and to become children of God. And what's more, we also know that the Holy Spirit will also be the one who will raise us up, who will resurrect our mortal bodies on that final day, that final glorious day, in the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead. And that you can read in Romans chapter 8. Secondly, the Holy Spirit assures us of our new identity and our eternal inheritance in Christ. The Holy Spirit is given only to those who believe and who follow Christ Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. For those of us who are born-again believers, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and will be with us forever. The Holy Spirit testifies and He will assure us that we are God's children. And He is like a deposit or a guarantee, a foretaste of the full inheritance that we will receive when God makes all things new on that glorious day. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit helps us to live as a new creation, a life that is pleasing to God. He guides, He teaches, He reminds, He enlightens, and He empowers us to live in obedience and in tandem with God's Word and His ways, which will lead to life and peace. As opposed to us living according to our flesh, gratifying our fleshly desires, our carnal desires, our earthly ambitions, which will certainly lead to destruction and death. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, and He will intercede for us in alignment, in tandem with God's will. And that is why we can say, all things work together for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit seeks to glorify Christ Jesus in and through us. In John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will glorify Him, Jesus. The Holy Spirit will point people to Jesus and draw people to Jesus. How? By renewing us after the image of Christ, so that we reflect the image of Christ. And by working through us to declare the excellencies of Christ, who have brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And fifthly, the Holy Spirit helps us to carry out our mission here on earth fruitfully and faithfully. The Holy Spirit will give us spiritual gifts. He gives us the power, the anointing, the special grace to those of us who are born again believers of Christ, so that we are empowered for the ministry and for the mission that He has given to us, that He has entrusted us with. So these are just some of the things that the Holy Spirit would do in and through us who are born again believers of Christ. Our part, our responsibility is to walk in the Spirit. Tell the person next to you, walk in the Spirit. That is, we are to submit, we are to yield, and to follow His leading in every area and every aspect of our lives. Every. Right? Every. And so, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he will say this, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. How many of you here, how many of us here are children of God? We are to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, the next question would be this. What does walking in the Spirit look like? What would it look like? There are three aspects that I want to share with you this morning. And the first is this. There should be observable fruits and signs of the Holy Spirit's presence and work in and through the believer's life in at least two areas. The believer's character and the believer's life or lifestyle. And the fruits and the signs of the Holy Spirit's work will look very different, contrary, in fact, to the work of our carnal flesh. According to the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, he tells us that the works of the flesh, the carnal flesh, will look like these. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, which is rage, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins that look like these. anything that look like these or come close to these. And those who make a practice or who make a lifestyle of these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not. However, the fruit and the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work on the believer's character and life will show up in as the fruit of the Spirit. And in the same chapter, verse 22 to 23, the fruit of the Spirit will look like these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, which includes humility, and self-control. Sometimes we think the fruit of the Spirit has just got these 9 attributes that is just put up there. But if you were to know what does the love as the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God looks like, you can refer that to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it already tells you that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, and that's a whole list there. And so can you see and can you get the picture that in our own strength, we will not be able to become like these just like that. It has to be the fruit of the Spirit. And the corresponding lifestyle of a Spirit-led believer will be one of faith expressing itself in love. So if we use a real-life example, it would look like Jesus, as well as the early disciples and the apostles, who went about doing good, healing the oppressed, and making disciples. Why did they do that? Because of their love for God and their love for others. And so, what that means is that someone who is walking in the Spirit, for someone who is walking in the Spirit, his or her focus will be on God and on others, not on themselves. And this brings me to the second point. Over the decades, there have been much abuse and excess in this area of Spirit ministry. Ironically, it's all because of our flesh. For example, there are some who would think that walking in the Spirit would look like someone who's operating in signs and wonders in the prophetic, somewhat like a spectacular supernatural ministry. Now, my personal belief and my personal experience is that while the Holy Spirit does work in supernatural signs and wonders, even in this day and age, through whomever that He chooses to work through, we have to be careful not to be caught up with the glamour of signs and wonders. Nor should we glorify the Christian minister or preacher who's in such a ministry. Nor should we try to chase after spiritual gifts or chase after the anointing, so to speak, so that we can also have a spectacular showing, exhibition of our own spirituality and our ministry. Otherwise, we will fall into the trap of turning the anointing of the Holy Spirit into something that is self-serving, that is self-gratifying, and the glorification of ourselves. And this is actually contrary, directly opposite to the Holy Spirit's objective of glorifying Jesus and pointing people to Jesus. The irony is this: those who are full of the Holy Spirit, they are typically those who are doing a lot for Christ, but yet they do not seem to make much of themselves, which really is one of the hallmarks of Christ-likeness. When we move in the Spirit, so to speak, or when we are led by the Spirit, we need to first check if whatever that we are led to do, does it accord and does it align with the motivations and the objectives of the Holy Spirit? And there are 3 simple questions that I will typically ask myself as a check back for myself. Firstly, does it truly glorify Jesus? Or do I actually have to try to conjure something up to make it justify that God is glorified? So does it outrightly glorify Jesus? Secondly, second question I will ask myself is this. Does it lead me and others to love God more and to love others more? That's the two greatest commandments, right? In everything that we do, it has to boil down to these two commandments, to love God more and to love others more. Am I led to do this so that I will love God more and love others more? The third question that I'll ask myself is, will it challenge me? Will it increase my faith and my dependence upon God? Or is it an opportunity for me to show what I can do? So does it challenge me? Does it cause me to increase my faith and my dependence upon Him? Now, if I think that whatever that the Holy Spirit is leading me to do, it also has to agree with the Word of God. It has to agree with God's Word holistically, in its proper context. We are not supposed to pull out verses from the Bible, like cherry-picking, and make it sound and make it look like it agrees with what we want to do. No. It has to be in its proper context. Secondly, it has to also be accompanied by the peace or with the peace of God. Why? Because usually when the Holy Spirit leads us to do something, it will take us faith. Right? And we will be unsettled. But if it's of the Lord, although our minds may feel like it's unsettled, but in our hearts, His peace will accompany it. Okay? And it also should be in agreement with at least two or three other witnesses, especially if it's a decision, a big decision, or a decision that involves the people around us, for example, our family. So there should be agreement with our spouse, there should be agreement with our children. And the example that I have here is that when God called us to move over from Singapore to Perth, we had to pray as a family, and there has to be agreement amongst us. There has to be the peace of God that is felt amongst us, even though our children were younger then. When we were called to move over into this church, Grace City Church, it was the same thing. We had to pray as a family, and we had to also receive the peace of God. No peace, no go for us. So these are important checkbacks and safeguards to ensure that we are not misled or that we are not deceived by our flesh or by the evil one. Thirdly, when we walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will always lead us to take steps of faith. He will lead us to walk into deeper waters with Him, to walk into uncharted waters with Him, to step into new things that we have not tried or done before, things that we would not have imagined, because it will require faith. And all of these are meant to help us to grow in our identity and in our dependence on Him as a child of God and as a disciple of Christ. These are also meant for us to help us experience greater revelations of His person, His glory, and His grace, that we may grow in our knowledge of Him, not just intellectually, but our knowledge of Him at a more intimate level. So when we are walking in the Spirit, we should expect to see ourselves growing and maturing in faith and Christ-likeness, the fruit of the Spirit. We should see ourselves growing and maturing in fruitfulness, in the ministry of serving others, and in the mission of making disciples. We should also be growing and maturing in our fellowship with Him. So you would see that walking in the Spirit, therefore, is a fundamental and is a necessary part of this new life that we have been given in Christ. Now, as a child of God, that we are a child of God, and a disciple of Christ. How can we grow in our walk with the Spirit? At Grace City Church, we want to encourage every one of us to learn and to hone ourselves in listening out for the promptings of the Spirit, in discerning what is His Word, where is He leading us into, and by responding. That means we need to step out in faith and in obedience to the Spirit's leading. And how do we learn these three things? I'm going to suggest to you four areas. I call them the four W's, which you probably may have heard them before. The first W is this: the Word of God. The Word of God must be the basis, the foundation, and the guidepost for all of our listening and our discernment of what we think the Spirit is leading us or prompting us to do. As I've mentioned earlier, without God's Word, we will be susceptible to being misled and deceived, not only by Satan himself, but also by our own voice, our own flesh. At a church level, for this year, we will be basing our sermons on the book of Acts. The book of Acts speaks not only of the acts of the apostles or the disciples, but more importantly, it speaks of the Holy Spirit working in and through the disciples of Christ. How they walk in the Spirit, how they partner the Holy Spirit in their mission, in their lives, in their ministry. The second W is witness. The witness of others and our witness to others. We learn from the witness, the testimonies of those whom we read of in the Bible, but also including those who are in our community of faith, our local church community, our house groups, as well as the larger body of Christ. We must learn to hear what the Spirit of God might be saying to us through fellow believers of Christ, in whom dwells the Spirit of God as well, so that we are inspired and encouraged by their examples and by their experiences. Furthermore, when we take the step of faith to witness to others about Christ, that is when we will learn to partner the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us and give us the exact right words to speak at the right time. Exactly what the person would need to hear in order to take the step forward. The third W is worship. In John chapter 4, verse 3, Jesus said that God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in Spirit and in truth. So as we worship God in sincerity of heart, that is where we will learn to commune with God deeply and intimately, heart to heart. And this is also one of the reasons why we will typically start our Sunday services with worship, so that we may bring ourselves in to center in on God, to open our hearts to Him, that we would posture ourselves to hear and to receive from Him. Sunday worship is not just a sing-along for Christians or a time filler of some sorts. So if we want to hear and if we want to receive what God has for us personally and as a church, then it is important for us to come and to come on time and worship our Lord together, right? Can we do that? Yes? Suddenly the amen went dead. Can we come on time to worship our Lord together? Amen. Yes. And worship, you know, is not just meant to be in church on Sundays. Like the worship song that we sang earlier, day and night, let incense arise. When? Day and night. And night and day. And day and night. And night and day. let prayer and the incense of our prayer and our worship arise. But worship not only in songs, but we are to live our lives as a worship as well. A life of surrender, of yieldedness and submission to God in everything. So that our daily work and our daily lives will become our worship, our sacrifice of praise unto Him. The fourth W is works. Knowledge is useful, but without application, it is pointless. We learn to walk in the Spirit by putting into action, putting into practice what God says to us and what we discern the Spirit is leading us or prompting us to do. For example, the Spirit of God may be prompting us to respond to an area of our lives after we have listened to a sermon. And when we respond to it by acting on it, that is one way that we learn to walk in the Spirit. Or the Spirit of God may be prompting us to serve the body of Christ in a church ministry. Like, for example, Sister Shen, Sister Lena, and many others who are serving in ministry today. The Spirit of God may be prompting us to reach out to someone in the course of the week, perhaps to give them a call, to chat with them, to pray for them, or even maybe to cook for them. And as we respond in faith and in obedience to serve, that is how we learn to walk in the Spirit. Now, I know that there will be times where we may make mistakes. In fact, I would say that we will make mistakes because we have heard wrongly. But don't worry and don't shirk back because of the fear of making mistakes. Because this is exactly where God's grace comes in. We need to just pick ourselves up, realign ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and move on. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, who knows our hearts intimately, He knows our sincerity and our insincerity, He knows our sincerity to follow His lead, the Holy Spirit will definitely help us to walk in step with Him. Definitely. That is why Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is sent to us and given to us as a helper, a paraclete, a helper and a counselor. But if we choose not to move and to respond to the Spirit, then we will not learn. And if we persist in that, in not responding over time, it will lead to spiritual atrophy and apathy in us. And so for this year, as a church, we will continue to build and to strengthen our spiritual discipline of reflecting, because it helps us to listen out for the prompting of the Spirit, of discerning what is God saying to us or telling us that we need to do. And embodying basically means putting it into action, living it out. This spiritual discipline that we see here will be our approach to our sermons at the church level, as well as in discussions at a powerhouse group level, in Salt and Light, and even in Sunday school. And the goal really is to assimilate this discipline into our daily lives, that it becomes second nature in us, in our private time, or when we have time with our families at home, or while we are at work, and especially so while we are here in church. So that we are constantly learning to be attentive, to be listening out for the Holy Spirit's prompting, our spiritual antennas are up, that we will gain confidence in discerning His voice and His word to us, and that we will grow and mature in our faith as we respond to His leading in obedience. Now, brothers and sisters, the world that we are living in today is fast becoming very complex, more deceptive, more dangerous, more challenging for those of us who are believers of Christ to stand for our faith and to share our faith. In fact, you will also know that the word unprecedented is also fast becoming common. But thanks be to God, who has already foreseen all these things. He did not leave us on our own or left us to figure it out on our own. But God has given His children, those who believe in Jesus, His Son, the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. That is, God Himself with us, in us, and He is for us. The Holy Spirit will enable and empower us to navigate and to overcome the complexities and the challenges in this world, to remain faithful and steadfast in our faith. And so, it is absolutely important and necessary that we teach and we model to our children, to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, how to walk in the Spirit. And what does it look like to walk in the Spirit? Because not all things that are of the Spirit, not all spiritual things, can be taught only by instruction. It has to be observed, and it has to be caught in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is imperative, absolutely important for those of us who are in Christ Jesus and who would follow Him. There's no such thing as being saved in Christ, and yet we are not walking in the Spirit. Because there has to be the fruit and the evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence and work in the life of the believer of Christ. Right? If you say that this tree is a mango tree, it should bear mango fruit. If it's an apple tree, it should bear apple fruit, right? There has to be the fruit and the evidence of the Holy Spirit. At Grace City Church here, we want to be a people of influence. Specifically, we want to be disciples who are deeply in love with Christ, becoming more and more like Him. We want to be disciples who are faithful and fruitful for Christ Jesus, making disciples of all nations, but starting right where we are, right where God has planted us, in our country, in our state, in the community that we are in, the residential community that we are in the schools that we are in the job places that we are in. Ultimately, we want to be children of God and disciples of Christ who will glorify God in and with our lives and to enjoy Him forever. For all these to happen, we must then walk in the Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And this is what we will be focusing on for 2024. So for this year, 2024, I'd like you to answer this question truthfully yourselves between you and God. Okay, you don't have to show it to me, but between you and God. Do we want to go deeper in fellowship and partnership with the Holy Spirit this year? Do we want to go into deeper waters with the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, to submit to His leading and to flow with Him? Are we willing? Because it will take us steps of faith. It will take us into deeper waters. It will take us into uncharted waters. It will take us out of our box and our comfort zones. It may be disruptive, even disruptive to our lives. It may interrupt what we are doing, what the Holy Spirit will lead us. So are we willing to allow Him to lead us still? And the second question is this. If we say that we are willing to let Him lead us, are we willing to respond? To say, yes, Lord, if this is what you are calling me to do, I have your peace. It glorifies Jesus. It accords with His word. Okay, Lord, I will take the step of faith. I don't know how it will work out. I don't know how it will pan out, but but I'll take this first step of faith. Are we willing to respond to his call and to his invitation, to what he wants to do in and through us, in and through you? Would you take this time now to just bow your heads and respond to the Lord personally? Because this is your personal walk with the Lord. This is between you and him. Are you willing to walk into deeper waters, to allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt our lives, to step out in faith and in obedience? I want to assure you that as you respond to the Lord, you don't have to think too much or too hard, how is it going to work? Because what you need to first do, what we need to do, is we respond in faith and in sincerity. And the Holy Spirit, who sees our faith and our sincerity, He will lead us. He will enable us. He will empower us. He will help us, because that's His desire. And can I invite all of us now to take a stand as we respond to the Lord together in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you very much for your word, and thank you, Lord, even for leading us into this direction for this year. Lord, we ask that you help us to walk in deeper intimacy and fellowship with the Holy Spirit this year, to walk in closer partnership with you at a personal level, as families, as a church, your family of God. Help us to grow in faith, Lord, to step out in obedience to your prompting, even into deeper waters, uncharted waters, with your Spirit. Help us to grow in Christ-likeness and in the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to be willing to surrender, to yield, and to submit to the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to your service, to your commission, to the very end, so that Jesus be truly the Lord and the Master and the center of our lives, of our families, our marriages, our church. That Jesus be exalted and be magnified and be glorified in and through our lives. And we ask all these now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we respond to the Lord with this worship song?